That position would probably be prophet, because you see it all the time with Elijah and Elisha saying, you shall do this to... They tell guys to beat an arrow on the ground to... I'm assuming that he's still considered the prophet.
I think we can just summarize. I know we want to move on, but just I think it's important that we make the contrast between the king of their choosing and our king, because you mentioned Chuck several times where he says he takes, and the last thing he says, you're going to be his servants. And you would have expected the response to that might have been, well, we've already tried that in Egypt and we didn't like it. And we learned from that mistake, but now they say, no, we're going to disobey. But I just want to, for a very brief moment, contrast our king and what he says. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Our king gives us rest. The king of the world takes away everything. Look at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. That's the characteristic of what our king gives. Look at the last things that the Lord gave his disciples before he ascended, before he went to the cross. You find several things that he gave. Versus the king of the world, he takes. And the last thing he takes is them as servants, and really he takes their own souls. So what a contrast we have between the king that the world would choose and the king that we have chosen.
I think it's important to, again, realize that what we see in the people has been a problem and a difficulty with them for many, many years. They are described as a stiff-necked people. We had this in Eli the other day, the stubbornness of Eli and the breaking of his neck. And so Israel again finds itself, even though they are in a period of great blessing and peace, in rejecting the one who God has set up, Samuel, number one, and then above Samuel, the Lord himself as the one who reigns over Israel. So God gives Israel, this stiff-necked people, their heart's desire. But it's interesting to know that even in the midst of all of this, Samuel remains in communion Amen. With the Lord.
Amen.
And this is the point that we want to emphasize for us as young people. There are a lot of circumstances about us that we cannot control. But what we can control is our behavior in relation to the Lord. So when the people said to Samuel, we hear what you're going to say. We don't think this is going to happen. We want a king. Samuel, in verse 21, heard all the words of the people, and he reported them in the ears of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, to have someone's ear, you know, we're sitting here and you can hear my voice amplified, but the thought of being in the ear has a thought of closeness. You know, there might be two individuals that have such a close relationship that they whisper directly into one another's ears. It speaks of the kind of relationship and communion that exists between the two. This is what we want for ourselves, that the Lord has such a delight in us that he loves for us to draw near to him and to speak into his ear. And even though Israel is moving away from him, the Lord hears Samuel, and then the Lord responds to him. And while it doesn't say here that he responds in the ear of Samuel, I think it intimates the fact that if Samuel is that close to the ear of the Lord, Samuel is hearing the voice of the Lord directly into his ear as well.
He needed to know what to do. And you'll find yourself in circumstances like this. This is an imperfect world that we're going through. Its prince is not the one that we serve. And so we will find many, many times that we will need just what we've seen here. I don't know whether you've looked at 19, how closely you've looked at it, but do you realize that to obey is set in there? Tony spoke a little bit earlier in the week about rebellion. Rebellion is a natural weed, and it grows in each of our hearts as children of Adam. To rebel is natural. To rebel is the old Adam. It's the nature that we possess. And the people refused. That's a strong word. They said, no, we will not. And how we want to emphasize for you and I who are believers today, the consequences of my will or your will in our lives today, it is horrible. We not only miss the blessing of God, but we will reap the fruit of our own way. This is what we're coming to. And this is such a positive example. These are the only places in Scripture, or some of the sweetest ones I know, where the Lord's ears are mentioned. As Tony has emphasized it, and where over in verse 15, we'll have it tomorrow perhaps, the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before. And then down in verse 17, the Lord saw, when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, dear young people, he is the one to give direction. He's the one to give direction when things are well. And he's the one to give direction and comfort and support when things are not well and one is feeling the pressure of the day.
As we think of the consequences that have been mentioned over and over, and we've heard of the testimony that Samuel brings to the people, the results that the king would create, we can go forward. I just want to read a verse so that we see how this has had an effect based on where they were and where they come to. Chapter 14, the last verse, is the result. There was sore war, verse 52, there was sore war against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he took him unto him. So now, if we would go back to chapter 7, verse 13, the Philistines were subdued and they came no more into the coast of Israel. That was before. That was before they chose and said, we will have a king. Samuel says, he will do all of these things. And what was the result? The Philistines, who had been subdued, they come back. They're right back in the land, and there's not just war, there's sore war against the Philistines all the days when this king, who they willed to have, had. And guess what? All the strong men and so on and so forth called out to war. This is the consequences, and the Lord is faithful to his word.
Alex has a comment.
Yeah. Good. Go ahead, Alex.
Now, relating backwards, I'm still thinking about what you said, Lars, that the king was to fight the people's battles. That's what they said anyway. And then you said the people should have been fighting their battles. But I rather think that both of those points are wrong, and that the Lord is the one who should be fighting the battles. And as we go on looking at that, you know, and again, and then you made the point, they continued into the point of modern relationships, whether the clergy is the one relating to God, the clergy is the one doing all the work, or we're doing all the work. Well, I think both of those points are wrong too.
Okay.
And that the Lord should be the one doing the work.
This is the value of a Bible study. We help one another. And this is what we're trying to do today. So it may be that you and Lars need to spend a little time together rather
than... I'm
not
attempting to cross your points, Lars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You all spend a little time together. Our time is 26 minutes after. And I'm concerned about the reading tomorrow. Because, young people, we have a lot of ground to cover. And Tony and John and I were talking in email earlier this week. What are we trying to do? We're trying to build a grid. A framework. We can't fill all of the little squares in for you. You have to go home. Emil said earlier in the week, if the only time you look at this is while you've been at Grove City or Eastern Bible Conference, you'll come back here next year and you'll have none of it. You won't have retained anything. If you go home and study it and you make it your own, you'll be able to help somebody else with it. So I want to suggest some verses for tomorrow for us. Chapter 9, verse 2. That's a verse we'll look at. Chapter 13, verse 11, 12, and 13. And maybe you can look at these in your group tonight. Then we'll spend a bit of time in the first part of chapter 15, down through verse 23. Okay? Now, there may be some other verses that will find their way in, but this is quite a bit. And I would hope that we could end with Samuel anointing David. Just some verses on that. So that'll help you in your groups tonight to know that this is where we're going to try to go.